Hey everyone, this is the Final Play Podcast, where we review week two of the NRL Finals and a preview of this week's upcoming games. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials out there, which is SoundCloud, Twitter, at the Final Play Pod, and of course, Facebook.
Let's do it!
Okay, so week two of the NRL Finals. Quickly go over the two games. The Friday night game, the Rabbitohs and the Seagulls. Rabbitohs getting over the Seagulls 34-26. Interesting game.
60-point score fest.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, it was a good game to watch. It was really a back and forth seesaw sort of fest. But the teams. It felt like, and this is probably what's going to lead into the this week's games. Both teams looked gassed. I mean, I'm talking like 10 minutes in, they just looked done. Like they've literally got no tricks up their sleeve, and then they somehow pulled out these points because I don't know if it was defense or what, but both teams, they felt like they were already done, like their season's over kind of thing.
Well, yeah, well, the first half is where plenty of action sort of come into it. It's, I mean, it ended up being 18-16 at half time, but plus you had the sin binning of Walker during the first half as well. Cherry Evans scored straight away while they had him in the bin. You know, I think Walker got sent to the bin in the 30th minute. Minute. So, you know, Manly took advantage of that.
Really well.
And that's, I mean, I thought both teams looked really good in the first half. That the young kid Dewey for South playing fullback, he was terrific.
Yeah. I don't know if he's played there before or anything, but he just seemed really at ease during that whole game. I mean, a lot better than obviously Alex Johnson last week, who seemed completely out of sorts. Thing.
Yeah, Johnson's coming. He's coming back from injury, so I think it's better to sort of blood him out on the wing, push Gago into centre, which is what they did. Which I think Gago is a natural centre anyway, not a winger. Gago is wasted. He's wasted out on the wing, and this the young kid Dewey. He's played. He's played a lot of fullback this year for South, so it's a bit like you said. Yeah, he looked cool and calm at the back there. So, he didn't have any sort of finals nerves or anything like that. Like what I sort of noticed, especially in the first half as well, like going from what was there 35,000 there, going off
just over 32.
Yeah, going off crowd reactions. You would have thought it was a Manly home game.
Yeah, definitely.
It was weird. Yeah, like there was a lot more. There was a lot more cheers when Manly were getting penalties and you know when Manly were scoring and stuff like that. It was bizarre.
Yeah. And it's funny. And then actually at the end of the game, a lot of commentators saying that Manly now becoming the side that everyone used to love to hate Manly. Now I think they're slowly coming to the side that everyone's not. I wouldn't say everybody loves Manly, but they're not the team that everybody hates. I think that goes to probably my team, Melbourne Storm, which we'll talk about later. But
yeah, well, that's everybody's on the hate train there.
I totally agree. I think, and it's probably just full credit. It's probably full credit to Des Hasler. Like everyone wrote him off last week, including myself. I don't know about you, but even this week, I mean, everyone pretty much wrote him off, and they were still in there pretty much up until probably that Trbojevic sent off. I'd say that
was the 100% turning point of the game.
Yeah.
Which 100%. 66th minute, and it's totally 100% warranted.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It was, you know,
he yanked
he did
on
the
his
wrong
jersey.
Yep.
He yanked on his jersey and then his feet got caught up in I can't remember who he pulled back a little bit there. They end up bombing the try.
Was guy. Yeah.
And it was totally warranted. And then apparently, bloody Hasler's going off his rocker in the dressing room after the game on the phone, trying to get Graham Annesley on the phone.
He just won a line.
Had he looked at? Had he seen the replay?
Yeah, no. It was clear. It was clearly. It was,
wouldn't have because it's clear.
I don't care. They, you know, commentators have come out and said, you know, Jake's a nice player, nice guy, and he is a nice guy, but he did the wrong. He knew he did it. That was totally Warren said. With the Cody Walker one, this open slap, I guess, well, what are your thoughts on it? And I guess probably, so not thoughts just on that one, but just with the open slap in particular.
Well, he come over the top and tried to have a go at someone. So it's if he's made contact, which I'm 99% sure that he did make contact. Well, there was a bit of a fracas there in the middle, you know, underneath the goalpost, and then it sort of got a little out of hand, and then you thought it was about to stop.
Yeah.
And well, everybody had sort of calmed down, and then all of a sudden Walker's in the middle of it, and then he throws an arm out. So it's like, well, okay, then you've. Yeah, by the letter of the law and how they're doing that, he's got to send him to the bin.
Well, what I seen was that the try was scored, something happened at the try line, and that Jake was it Jack Tavesky, the second rower for Manly. He's done. Jeske. So they've pushed him back. That's right, they pushed him back. And then he's pushed. Whoever they tackled head right into the ground, and like you could see it, it was plain as day on the replay. And then Cody and then a few other players took offense to it. So, I mean, Cody's just sticking up for his teammates, but by the letter of the law, he's, you know, an open slap is counted as 10 minutes in the bin. Which, reading articles now, that all coaches have agreed on this 2 years ago. So I have no problem with it.
None at all.
I just think, obviously, it's probably more of a talking point because it's happened twice this weekend. But, that's the letter of the law, like you said.
Yeah, it just, I'd absolutely zero problem with it. No. Just the way that he sort of came over the top a little bit. So obviously there was still plenty of words being said, and he didn't get upset. When he got sent to the bin, like
he knew.
Yeah, didn't raise eyebrows. Or just,
I think
he
had a couple of words to Jake, but he's even come out a few days ago and said he needs to be smarter, play smarter anyway. So no, he accepted it, but
he played, and Cody Walker plays. You know, he's a confidence player and he's an emotional player. Can he be taken? You know, can he be not so much a liability, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, is he easily somebody that other teams can get into his head a little bit, and then he sort of loses it a little bit.
Maybe they just like if they can find it, he just gets. I guess something ticks him off quickly. Like I guess, like you're saying, they might exploit that at least just to sort of get him off. Offside,
I suppose. You know, it's finals footy, so you know you got to do. It's not to say that you wouldn't do whatever you want, or, you know, whatever you can to win in a regular season game. But you know, this is what you do. This is what the pressure cooker does when you're in the middle of a finals game and your season's on the line.
I thought Adam Reynolds had a fantastic game, especially in the kicking department. He was, not even just goal kicks, just his all-round kicking effort. He's slotted 7 goals, 4 conversions and 3 penalty goals. But I just
he's one of the best kickers in the game.
Yeah, his accuracy of like his accuracy and just I guess forcing resets and everything. Yeah, he had a great kicking game.
His general play kicking, you know, sort of pinning people in the corners and getting the ball to sit up in the in goal and all that sort of stuff. Like I said, accuracies is, he's second to none. When he's on, you know, he's one of the better halfbacks that are getting around. Also, you know, once again, you know, everybody's favorite player, Cameron Murray.
Cameron Murray,
right. had a killer of a game.
He doesn't even look 21. I'll say it again. He looks 21. He doesn't play like a 21-year-old. He plays like he's been there for years.
He's not super huge either. Like, you know, body-wise, he punches above his weight.
Mm. Yeah, he had a well, two tries. He had a whale of a game.
A couple of tries, a couple of line breaks.
Yeah. He's superstar material. He's 21, and I reckon he's easily captain material already.
He's got to be in the kangaroo squad.
Oh, definitely.
At the end of the year.
He just seems so level headed, and the Burgess boys aren't going to stay around forever. And then he's only 21. He's the future captain easily.
Well, he's getting plenty of opportunities to sort of get a lot of work in because the Burgess boys aren't getting any younger, and obviously a lot of them are being suspended throughout the season anyway. So. That's a byproduct of that as well too.
But credit to Manly. I mean, they played above their grade. They were still
in it. There was still a couple of minutes to go. It was only 32-26. Yeah. And then they had the little debacle of the penalty for the dropout clock going off.
Yeah.
And that essentially killed it with it. But was it about like a minute? I think it was about a minute 20 to go.
Yeah,
and they didn't get the dropout. They didn't get the dropout off in time, and that's
yeah, a penalty yeah
from 10 meters. Yeah, so that essentially shot them. Otherwise, they were still there. They were only 6 points behind.
That's obviously a brain explosion. Clearly, it's a brain explosion.
He just missed it, like Cherry Evans. But the drop. You don't have to be in the motion of taking the dropout. The dropout has to be taken by the time that the buzzer goes off, and he wasn't in the motion. He was just about to take it, and the buzzer went off, and he hadn't dropped the ball out. So penalty.
But they he's not the only one that's done it. They all do it. I don't get what takes.
It was always going to be a short dropout. So I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took them 35 seconds.
Yeah, I don't.
It was
yeah.
always going to be a short dropout. Yeah. So you've got to have your set plays, and your known people that you're gonna do the short dropout to. Like, it's just that simple. That's what's game planning throughout the week for, and throughout the year.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're 27, 28 weeks into the season now. Like, those you just got to know.
Another George Tafua special on Ethan Lowe. Another one. he just pulverizes people. It's ridiculous. And Ethan's not a small guy either.
No,
so
that boy knows how to hit.
It's just his timing. He's coming from the side as well. Yeah, correct. I mean, like, he's coming from where he's coming from. From the side, not many of the players are getting a view. It's not like it's one-on-one front. Like, he's, they're getting a quick glance at him before he smashes them. But, I'm good. I got nothing else to say. I'm good.
How much would it take for you to get a hit from him? How much money?
Oh, well, yeah, probably. I mean, I'd have
grand.
To wear. Nah, I'd have to be a lot more than that. I'll lose another kidney. So.
Oh.
The next game, Melbourne smashing the Parramatta Eels 32-0. It's not what I expected, obviously, in the score, but. I guess I just didn't expect it because it was probably the best attacking Melbourne game I've ever seen. Sorry, I've seen this year because they're really just grinding out kind of team. They just played. Yeah, their attack was great this week.
Yeah, they come out. Yeah, they come out with purpose and intent against Parramatta. Yeah, they. I don't think they were very happy with what happened last week against Canberra. They were definitely motivated to tackle Parramatta head on. And then the other thing too, Parramatta started off just horrendously, like couldn't hang on to the ball, but that they couldn't, they couldn't get their hands on the ball. Like by the end of the first half, they were three completed sets from 9. Like, you can't win a football game like that. It was 22 zip at halftime, and it should have been more if Cameron Smith would have been able to kick a goal.
Yeah, true. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would have been 40. I think
ended up being 1 from 6 in the first half, and two from seven total.
Yeah. So yeah, that's 42. It was absolutely I watched a game on Channel 9. A little quick talk to JT. We're talking about the 10 minutes off. The post celebration goes, no, serious, JT, what are you doing this week? I'm going to need some kicking practice. He's asked him about 3 times. So I think Joey said, I don't think you can, I don't know if his, you'll be able to afford his pay grade. So,
no.
The kicks aside, they just, yeah, probably. Well, that's exactly right. Because JT said, you'll have to talk to my missus. I'm already away enough.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it was their completion sets were great. They it just was a really well rounded.
Weren't they like 19 from 20 in the first half?
Yeah. They just seemed no one breakout sort of players. They just all, you know, attacking wise, they were all there. Like you know what I mean? Like they just, there was no, you know, breakout star or everything. Everybody's playing well. Jerome Hughes is very comfortable in that halfback position. So
he settled into the number 7. Yeah, he settled in there pretty well. What I thought was interesting too was the dropping of Chambers to the bench and Bellamy starting Curtis Scott.
And just reading that, Bellamy's, well, it's, I wouldn't say that. So a couple of articles I read literally a couple of hours ago. They're saying the reason that they dropped Chambers, and possibly this week, because Curtis Scott needed another game, I guess, just to be back in the centers, because next week, if they knew they were going to win and play against the Roosters, Chambers doesn't have a really good strike rate against Latrell Mitchell. Whereas Curtis Scott is a defensive center. So, yeah. I mean, you can go through the origin and everything. Will Chambers and Latrell Mitchell really have an ongoing battle, but Latrell always gets on top of him every single time. So
he hasn't been terrific. Like defensively, he hasn't been terrific most of the year, Will Chambers. So it's just been one of those years where he's sort of down in form and you can't really look at, okay, you know, him being selected for origin because, you know, that's, you know, Queensland being loyal to almost to a fault, really, and sort of putting him in there anyway. So you can't. I don't look too much into that. Probably the second half of the season he hasn't been terrific. And if you've got somebody like Curtis Scott, you know, waiting in the wings there. So what happens now then? Like Curtis Scott looks like he's on the outer. I've heard that the Cowboys are looking at him along with a few other teams as well. But why wouldn't Melbourne want to try and keep him?
So, well, that's the, in that same article, not only they've said, you know, it looks like Chambers might sit on the bench again this week because Curtis Scott defensively should be a bit better against the Latrell Mitchell. But in the same article, they said if Curtis Scott proves himself and he's, you know, like he did this week and again next week, they're going to find room to keep him. So, which will be very interesting because they're pretty tight as it is, I believe, especially trying to keep that Ryan Pappenhausen.
He'll need an upgrade.
Yeah, he'll definitely need an upgrade. So, I mean, they're still, you know, I mean, he's not released or anything and it's not like, I mean, I think he can't negotiate until November 1st anyway, but I think you're right. I think they are trying to look at keeping him. So, why wouldn't they? Correct.
No, that's right. That's unlucky for Will Chambers as well.
Well, I mean, true.
He's a proven center. You know, he hasn't had the best second half of the season, but he's a proven guy. So, Melbourne generally stick with those kind of people.
But it's also Craig Bellamy. Craig, I reckon he's just a instinct. Well, not a player, sorry, an instinct coach. He just seems. He's obviously gone on his gut and went, well, this will sort of work. And he seems to find and work these things out, like Pappenhausen.
Yeah.
Putting Jerome Hughes, you know, having...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that's a super late-season move to do as well.
Yeah, and that's blended well. So he's obviously, well, I think he's gone with his gut on those couple of things, and it seems to work. You're right. I mean, you know, Chambers to me is still a proven, attacking player at least, but I think he's got the build in it. I think there's a lot more positions I think he could play other than center. Coming from the bench, I think he can be a bit of utility. I mean, he's probably not going to sit on the bench on every game or anything. I just think he offers something else, something different from the bench. So they, it was just an all well rounded game. I mean, is there anything you with the Eels that sort of stood out with you? I guess that they did well. No, I mean, nothing really. But
the first half they couldn't get anything up the other end of the field, and then once they did in the second half, and they sort of held on, held on to the ball a little bit better. I think they ended up finishing the game like 15 of 30, which even that's not great. That's 50% completion. No, that's terrible. But by early in the first half, you could see that they sort of, they were getting a little bit of confidence back. But when they got down inside Melbourne's 20, they looked a little bit lost. Like, I don't know, did Mitchell Moses sort of go missing a little bit? Like, where was all the confidence? Where was all the confidence from last week? That was just shattered in the first 20 minutes of the game.
I don't remember seeing any, against Brisbane, it was a whole different sort of ball game, but I don't remember Mitchell Moses' name getting mentioned that much at all.
I heard the young kid Brown's name being mentioned a lot.
Yeah, 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 correct.
I didn't sort of hear Moses' name mentioned all that often. It just seemed a little bizarre.
And that's probably just credit to Melbourne. They had so much attacking. So
yeah. Oh, they were gassed, and by the time they actually had decent attacking opportunities, they couldn't capitalize on. Like the one thing that sort of stood out to me a little bit was Parramatta had no line breaks. So when you if you're not breaking the line and you can't put any pressure on that way, and you're constantly coming out of your own end.
Yeah.
Then you're in for a bad night.
And usually that's a Mitchell Moses specialty too. Usually he's consistently can break the line. So.
And put people through the hole as well. Gutherson went off in the second half for a HIA. Like, that didn't really sort of help. They were running out of troops by the end of the game. Like, they had a few people in the head injury.
Yeah.
Assessment protocol. By the end of it, they were sort of running out of fresh troops to sort of bring back on. So that also wasn't helping as well. So the guys that were out there were stuck out there, and that was pretty much it.
The Cameron Smith slap for the 10 minutes.
Oh, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I guess not for, but that is the rule. We said it earlier, but that is the rule. Yeah. Okay. He slapped someone's face, but it's two totally different situations.
It's 100% totally different things. Reed Marnie's holding onto his jersey, and he's trying, they look like they had a bit of a smile while they're on the ground. Reed Marnie is holding onto his jersey to hold him out of the play to get him back in the defensive line. Mm-hmm. And all Cameron Smith is trying to do is knock his hands away. And he accidentally caught him in the face.
And he misses him. Nothing would have happened, but he's accidentally hit his face, and then he's got 10 minutes. So it's consistent.
And Smith, he didn't complain about it either. He must have known that he hit him in the face, but he didn't do it deliberately.
No. He didn't. He didn't do that deliberately. Like I said, he's looked like Reed's sort of grabbed his top of his jumpers. He got rid of one hand. And then he's looked like he's just tried to hit it away, and
trying to slap his hand away, and he got close to his face, and he clipped him in the face.
Yeah, it's absolutely
right in front of the referee.
Yeah, yeah, it was probably not the best.
Right there.
Yeah, and you don't think, like you said, like the charging and that, you don't, they'll be free to play this week, surely.
It's a joke that he's even been charged.
Yeah, surely.
It's honestly a joke that he's been charged. He's going to be just fine.
Yeah, and even if they defined him guilty, he would have absolutely no carryover points or anything. So he won't get a week.
No,
there'd be no possible way.
It's just a joke that he's
been. It is a joke. So that was the only two games, obviously, this week. The next week's games, one's Friday night again and one on Saturday night. The Friday night game down in beautiful summer Canberra. They're playing
lovely weather this time of year right here.
They're playing the Rabbitohs. It's going to be a massive crowd. They've got extra seating coming out of everywhere. The whole town's green. They look like they're going to have about 28,000. Apparently that Canberra milk that we always see is apparently that's green somehow. I don't know what the hell's going on. So I read that somewhere.
Oh,
like,
lime milk.
Yeah, the town's green, the milk's milk. Green. So something's going on. Yeah. But
The green sausages, green steaks, green rissoles.
What do you think of? So who do you? I mean, who are you tipping sort of for that game?
Oh, lime milk. Oh, my God. Anyway. That is so gross. Lime milk. Dud of the week. Lime milk. Anyway.
Just like Gus Put Team.
Gus Put Team.
Everyone needs a big C on their chest. That's a sign.
Like you were saying before, I think the Rabbitohs are running out of gas. I think they're running out of tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to rely. They're going to have to really grind out a game, especially down there. And even though Canberra haven't really had the best record in Canberra this year, this is one of the biggest games in the last couple of years that they've had there. But obviously, they had that semi-final down there in 2016 where the Sharks knocked them off down there. Yeah, 2016, the Sharks won the premiership, which, that hurts to say. So this is the biggest game, in Canberra in a couple of years. So
I think they can stand up
and be counted and make a grand final for the first time since, 94?
Yeah, yeah. And then, Meninga days and all that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty sure Mal's last game.
And Bradley Clyde days and all that. Rabbitohs did beat them on their last sort of, I guess, head-to-head down in Canberra, 16-12. But like you sort of said, I think there's no more tricks up Canberra's sleeve. I mean, they seem to be running out of options. It didn't seem like, I mean, they've grown out a win, don't get me wrong, but it was a dirty win. It wasn't pretty win. So... I think
and it's finals. That's all you got to do is win. Doesn't matter how much.
Yeah, true.
All you got to do is win.
I just think Canberra's got enough. Especially that Michael Hodgson at dummy half. I just think they've got too many attacking prowesses I think they're primed to make the grand final. Really, really think they're primed to make the grand final.
South will need a little bit better production out of Damien Cook if they're going to sort of get.
Yeah,
if they're going to get on the front foot. He hasn't been super impressive throughout these finals, throughout the last couple of games. He's been. I don't know. I think the clear number one dummy half in the game this year. So I think he needs to needs to get a little bit more aggressive offensively, just to sort of keep them rolling along. So as long as their forwards can get quick play the balls, then that sort of plays into his hands, where he can sort of run out of dummy half a lot more, and that puts the opposing team on the back foot. So I think that definitely needs to happen. And just a little bit more continuity in that back line now as well. With Campbell Graham and Gagai, Roberts and Johnston being back from injury, and Dewey at fullback. I think that will help as well, you know, if they can keep those, that back five right, then that, you know, that's definitely gonna help. But yeah, I still think Canberra can get the win, and yeah, it'll be very interesting. Should be. I don't think it'll be a super points fest like the South last game.
It'll be a grinding game. No, I don't think so. And if it is, I think Canberra's got too much attacking prowess to, yeah, at least, I mean, if it's going to be a cricket score, it's going to be on the Canberra's end. I just think they've got too many attacking weapons. And, yeah, I think they're really, really primed to make the grand final. The next game is basically a grand final, if you want to call it that anyway. Unofficial grand final. The Sydney Roosters up against the Storm at the SCG on Saturday night. I mean, this is going to be obviously the biggest game out of both of them.
I hope they get a decent crowd there.
Yeah, you mean more than the sort of 30,000 they've been getting there?
Yeah, I hope they start. They stack it in. They get 40+ there.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it's going to be such an attacking. Well, I shouldn't say attacking. It's just going to be such a great game to watch. The reason I wouldn't say attacking because the last time or three times these two have met, there's not been a lot of points between them. June was only 2 points. Melbourne got up by two, and then in April, the Roosters won by one. And these were 21, 20, and 14, 12. So they weren't big scores.
No.
Against every other team they play, they make big scores. But
they've played enough against each other recently that, there really shouldn't be anything new. And obviously with Cooper Cronk being there at the Roosters now, will be opening up the vault, so to speak, and letting out all the little Melbourne secrets about what they like to do. So, I think that sort of comes into play a little bit as well. So, I still think the Roosters will be able to get over the top of them. But like you said, you know, it should be a super close game as well. But you know, Melbourne. Yeah, Melbourne stood up well this week. You know, this week just gone. So it'll be interesting to see how they come up against a little bit better quality opponent, shall we say, in the Roosters than to what Parramatta was. Nothing against Parramatta. Parramatta had a super season, but yeah, they just got belted out of the contest in the first 20 minutes, and I don't think Melbourne will be able to do that to the Roosters.
Yeah. Look, being unbiased, I mean, I am going for the Storm, but being unbiased, it is. I can see it's hard to pick against the Roosters. They have too much talent on that team. You know, they have the most talent, I reckon, in the NRL. Really, if you can go through 1-13, it's hard to pick a different wouldn't say a dud player, but just pick a player that doesn't perform it week in, week out.
That's right.
The key matchup that game is just going to be all about the Sixers, Luke Keary and Cameron Munster. That will just be, those two going against each other, especially with Mel coming out and saying that Luke Keary is nipping at the heels of Munster's number six jersey. So I'm sure
that'll play some serious motivation.
Unbiased. It's too hard to pick against the Roosters. Just everybody from, especially the forwards, like Melbourne's forwards will really, really have to step up. I mean, Cafusi's and Bromwich's and all that, they'll just have to, they're going to have to go forward like quickly because, you know, if Roosters get on top of them early, Melbourne do not like coming back. Then they're not a team known to coming back. They're like having a lead. I guess if we're looking at it like on a soccer football presence, like a Chelsea versus Manchester United, generally, if they're in the lead, they'll just park the bus and just wait, which is sort of like Melbourne.
They both know how to control the game as well, if they start to get a lead. And that was the sort of the disappointing thing about Melbourne in the first in the first week of the finals there, they sort of they were behind the eight ball and they were always in the game, like they were never down by too much, but they just, yeah, they didn't sort of have that control factor over the game where they sort of still had to chase points a little bit. And even though they were still up at the end, and then they had that, you know, horrible drop ball by Addo Carr, and that sort of put the Raiders in the lead in the end there. But yeah, they didn't look like they controlled that game very well. So that'll have to improve. And they controlled the Eels for all of that second half. Like they put the points on them that they needed to in the first half, and then just sort of, yeah, just controlled the game fairly well in the second half. And I don't think they'll be able to put 22 points up in the first half against the Roosters. So yeah, that'll be a super grind them down, beat them up sort of game.
Interestingly, just for the two games, the outsiders obviously being the Rabbitohs and the Storm. The Rabbitohs are paying $2.90 to win at the moment. Oh. The Storm $2.40. So,
oh, get on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of thinking.
Like, get on that. That might change money right there.
Closer to the game, but at Canberra at $1.40, I mean, Roosters probably deserve every $1.55, but Canberra at $1.40 and South at $2.90 and Storm at, yeah, you know,
that's money.
Yeah, that was my thoughts when I just said I'd be getting on that too.
Get on that sports bet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am reading sports bets up, so shout out to sports bet.
My sports bet account is very, very low at the moment.
Did you have any studs and duds of the week?
Yeah, my sports bet account, one dud.
Yeah, that's dud of the year. Sorry, what are you talking about?
That is dud of the year. I think there's like $3 there. I'm serious. I think there's like $3 in there.
I'm pretty sure you won't be the only one out there that has this.
I thought it was a shoe-in that the Saints weren't going to cover against the Seahawks today, and yeah, the Saints ended up winning. So that was a pretty poor bet. Anyway, of course, that is a tip for you people. Don't bet on the teams that you like. You're betting with your heart and not your head. Don't bet on those teams.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Don't do it. That's why I don't bet on rugby league anymore, because I can't do it. Now I've got to stop betting on the Saints. Should have bet on the Giants. Anyway.
Yeah, should have bet on the Giants.
NFL's tomorrow. I've got a fairly sort of, you know, a cool sort of start of the week. I think the WNRL is a pretty cool concept. You know, this is the second year that they've put it into place. I think it can definitely be better teams wise. I don't know why the NRL have sort of come out and only started with four teams. I think that's a little. I think that's, and you know, and having, you know, three games and then a grand final, like I don't see where the satisfaction is in that. Like, I think that could be better, but yeah, overall as a product, you know, the skill that the ladies have, and you know, and then some of the big hits that you see as well, you're just like, oof, yeah, that's gotta hurt. But following around the finals games for the men. But I really like the concept of it, of the WNRL as a whole. I just think that there could be a few more games and a few more teams sort of put in. I've sort of seen that the Cowboys and the Knights have expressed big interest in getting teams into the WNRL, so it'd be good for them to sort of expand, and I think expand quickly. Obviously, the AFLW has expanded fairly quickly as well. I think there's 10 teams in that competition now. So, and I think they play 7 or 8 rounds as well. So, you know, they need to play more. It's a bit of just a sort of game, and then have them in a feature game on grand final day.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, no, I'd echo on that.
Be
I
better.
Think.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah, I think yeah, I'd echo on that. That's it's I guess it's a stud in the fact of it seems that popularity is there, especially when the state of origin. I think that state of origin that when
the
state
bizarre
of origin
thing
matches
about it too, like that's you know that's sort of super early or mid season, and then well what
that
yeah,
start,
well, then what happens
September.
And then
yeah correct then, yeah
and they play it and then at the end of the season like it could definitely be done a little bit better by the NRL, yeah. But you know, like I said, you know, overall as a whole, the product is pretty good on the field.
I mean, we you know they look at the you know Interest Super Cups and the New South Wales what do they call that one? New South Wales Premiership.
I think this year it's Canterbury Cup. I think
they class them as curtain raisers. So there's no reason why you couldn't tack on the women's to that before games or you know. So yeah, I'd agree. I think it is weird that they. I mean, obviously the timing to have the state of origin around the same as the men's totally makes sense. But then to have no games and then you know round two was last week at you know at Warriors you know which is round two you know that's 4 or 5 months in between no games.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's weird.
I do like that they do go to your smaller fields because obviously you know they're not going to have the fan base yet. So,
fields
like Leichhardt Oval and that makes sense.
With these games now, you know, but you can still be done a little bit better. Like you said, you know, they could be curtain raisers to, you know, to either Q Cup or New South Wales Cup.
Yeah.
You know, later in the season, but I think the ladies need to play a few more games other than just three and then have a grand final. I don't sort of see where the satisfaction can be for the ladies that actually participate in it. You know, to have three games and then go, oh, cool, one team's 3-0. What happens if the other teams are all 1-3?
Yeah.
You know, one and two, you know, it makes it sort of for, you know, not a bit of a dead game when it comes around to the grand final. Not to say that the ladies don't play it with passion, but you know, as a spectacle, it just and it just seems a little bizarre.
Any duds of the week? I mean, I have one dud, but it's centered around the NFL. So,
my dud of the week's real quick. The NRL match review committee, just charging Cameron Smith for that. That's lunacy. That's ludicrous. I don't understand why that should be charged. That's a waste of everybody's time.
Money.
Let's just get on with it. Let's focus on the football for next week. Let's focus on the grand final qualifiers. That's rubbish. And it doesn't need to take away from anything. It's nothing. It just yeah. That really irked me this week to find out that he'd be that's ridiculous.
But as a precedence, if they didn't, I mean, I'm only thinking of the South, obviously here. If they didn't, send him to the judiciary, then South argue? Then we may as well not send Cody Walker to the judiciary. Yes, I know they're two different things, but they're charged for the same thing. So
charged with the same thing, but yeah.
I don't know, like
they're two different instances.
I completely agree. I'm just saying, like, have they done that just because you know it would set a precedence against that? That's all I'm getting at. I don't know, like I agree totally.
For them to be sent to the judiciary anyway for an open-handed slap, like you've got the penalty and you've been sent to the bin for 10 minutes. That's enough. You don't need to be rubbed out of the game for an open-handed slap. If you've cocked the arm or you've clenched the fist and you drop somebody, okay, fair enough. You go to the judiciary and there's a possibility of a heavier ban. But for an open-handed slap, rubbish like that, you don't even need to go down that road. It's stupid.
And it's interesting. There's all these talk about this sort of stuff and then rubbing all this out of the game. Is it just me or? Shoulder charges starting to slightly come back in the game. And look, we all love to see them, but I thought they were banned and you know, getting weeks on end. Like, and I've seen so many shoulder charges.
Sivo's hit this week. That was, yeah, it was, oh, yeah, that was, That was a monster hit. Telling us
that's
what
and look, that's what I'm getting at. We all love it, but to me, isn't that just as you know? To me, I think that's just as worst. I mean, 10 minutes for a slap, yeah, it's ridiculous. But a shoulder charge, you know, these players going to HIA and all that. Like to me, a shoulder charge deserves 10 minutes because you really, you can't tell me you're not going in with some intent to knock that person down. Not,
well,
maybe you're not
going,
out,
yeah, you're going in there for a large hit, like, you know, when you come in for a, yeah. It's a gray area.
Yeah, well, it just seemed, it was so, what, 1 or 2 years ago, it was like the thing that everyone, because of the HIA and all that, everyone was talking about shoulder charge and, you know, people were getting weeks on, and then it just seems like it's just fell by the wayside and no one, they're not reviewing it. You know, everyone loves to see it, but they're not saying, oh.
Well, to say know, that, if, yeah. is there less shoulder charges in the game that actually can be charged as well. Like the one from Sivo was pretty clear cut. You know, you're not really seeing a lot of them. Have they done enough that they've sort of almost rubbed it out of the game?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, maybe it just seems to be some rules for some and then some rules for, I don't know, like some it's gray area. It's probably what you said. It's probably just a gray area.
Bit of a gray area.
There's some, a little bit of rules for some, and then a little bit of rules for, I guess, some other stuff that they're trying to rub out of the game, like that open slap. So it will
they've always got to focus.
Yeah. Is it tomorrow night that they'll go to the judiciary then?
What are we tonight? So it'll be tomorrow night, I would say.
It'll be very, very interesting. I guess watching that, or at least hearing about that tomorrow. Surely, they'll both get off. But oh man, yeah. if Cameron Smith gets rubbed out for a week, on their biggest game of the year, I'm sure they'll hear about it.
Well, he's done it before. He's missed the grand final before.
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. But it's just
a long time ago. But yeah, he's missed the grand final before.
But for something, for this kind of thing, it's they would be absolutely ridiculous to fine them. Yeah, sorry, I should say fine them, but to rub them out for a game would be absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Well, that'll do it for our NRL finals podcast. We will always have an NFL NFL podcast this week. What are we, week three? And I'm already talking finals.
Week three, yeah, let's hit them finals.
Yeah, well, you know, like you could probably rub a few people out already, a few teams out already.
Yeah, there's plenty of other teams starting to make it.
We'll have a NFL podcast this week as well, so stay tuned for that. After this week, there'll be one more review of the NRL, and then grand final time.
Should be the happiest day of the year.
Well, now that Queensland's made it a public holiday the day after, it's definitely my happiest day of the year.
Well, I'll actually be home for grand final day, so that'll be a nice leisurely day on the couch and watching that on the Sunday. So
just a little bit of this.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Yeah. Oh, that is
fantastic. Sweeping the world.
Little bit of the oh, that. Yep, that is
the best.
That is fantastic. Just Google a little bit of the bubbly, and you'll see what we're talking about. And if you can't not laugh of it, then laugh Chris at
Jericho,
it. Then
Chris Jericho, a little bit of the bubbly.
Just put a little bit of the bubbly. I'm pretty sure it's everywhere. If you don't laugh at that, then you're ridiculous.
Lou Bega, a little bit of the bubbly. That was the best. Oh, my God. That's so good.
Well, have a good week, everyone. My name is Jason, as always.
You recently going to change your name, are you? So you're not going to be Jason anymore soon.
I'm thinking of throwing bubbly in my middle name there somewhere now. It's that funny.
My name is Little Bit of the Bubbly.
Smith.
Smith.
It is hilarious.
Anyway, I do not plan on changing my name anytime soon, so I will continue to be Miles, and we'll have our NFL NFL pod out soon for week three, and enjoy your week, everybody.
We'll see. You'll change the name. Have a good week, everyone.
It'll be to Randy.
Peace.